I am sad at the insecurity that is in our nation. I can't even honestly unpack how scary it feels to be a Kenyan at this particular time. Mm-hmm. When we went to elect these leaders, the truth of the matter is we were saying to them that we're going to hold you accountable. And one of the ways that we can hold a government accountable is by speaking up. And we don't have a lot of platforms to speak up. So demonstrating, going on the streets is our way of saying we're not satisfied with this matter. We need further clarity. And when that is even taken from us violently, when people are kidnapped for expressing themselves, I am saddened.
Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. What if we are here for such a time as this to speak against these injustices, to speak against all the impunity we are seeing in the country right now.
Yeah.
Even just talk about the church and how maybe a lot of people feel like the church doesn't speak up.
Yeah.
We are just bringing it back to the word and seeing that this is something that is necessary and is required.
Yeah. We are missing who the enemy is.
We truly are. Because
we are not each other's enemies.
We are really not.
Who is actually the enemy of Kenya?
The real enemy is tribalism, which we're trying to fight. The real enemy is corruption.
Period.
Which is exactly why we are in the street.
That again. What is the real enemy?
The real enemy is corruption.
Period.
We do need to continue speaking up. It's all I believe we can do in this season. And to just continue holding the people accountable. I know that we want a better Kenya, not just for ourselves, but even for our children.
Mm.
The prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
That's
and
right.
Even though we feel like we cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel, there is light and it's going to come. And regardless of where we are, we just need to keep trusting and just keep believing that God will truly get us to the other side as a country. Welcome to The Whole Conversation, where we have honest, authentic, and godly conversations. My name is Ivy.
My name is Sue.
And we'll be your hosts for today. We are so excited to be finally doing this. It's been a long time coming. And before we get into today's conversation, first of all, Sue, you look amazing.
Thank you, Ivy. So do you.
Thank you so much. So how are you doing?
Well, right now, at this particular moment, I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm.
Excited that, just like you said, we are finally doing this after planning and praying and all of the things that go behind planning to, you know, follow after God's heart for something.
Yes.
I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm in between this sad state of my heart. And I have been feeling sad lately. For a few months, actually, and sad because of our nation.
Mm-hmm.
I am sad at the insecurity that is in our nation. Mm-hmm. I can't even honestly unpack how scary it feels to be a Kenyan at this particular time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see, you know, people being shot, you know, you're just demonstrating, you're rioting, you're practicing your civil right, and you're shot dead.
Mm-hmm.
It is heartbreaking. It might not be my brother or my cousin, but it's a fellow Kenyan. And to be truly honest, I am feeling so hurt as a Kenyan, because Ivy, when we went to elect these leaders, the truth of the matter is our electing them, our choosing them, we were saying to them that we're going to hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that we can hold a government accountable is by speaking up.
Mm.
And we don't have a lot of platforms to speak up. So that's demonstrating, true. Going on the streets is our way of saying we're not satisfied with this matter. We need further clarity. And when that is even taken from us violently, when people are kidnapped for expressing themselves, I am saddened as a Kenyan.
I would say that that's very valid, especially in this time we're in. Mm. I know for a fact I've also felt some of these emotions. I've definitely felt angry.
Yeah.
I've felt a bit of despair because I'm just wondering what to do, where to go from here. It just feels like we're really unheard.
Yeah.
And really, truly, if it's not one thing, it's the other. We've had the story of baby Amanda, who was just 5 years old, And even before you recover from this heartbreak, and especially as a mom,
yeah.
then here we are. We hear the story of Albert Ojwang among all these other people who yeah. have lost their lives senselessly.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a heavy, heavy time for yeah. a lot of us. And I think we should just unpack that a bit more and just talk about maybe how we can encourage the people in yeah. this time.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are in that state of feeling angry, feeling unheard, feeling yeah. like, you know, they don't really know where to go from here. So let's just talk a bit more about how we can encourage the people and how we can uplift the people.
Yeah.
And especially as Christians, I know for a fact that there has been uproar, especially to and rage, uproar and rage towards the church, because
yeah.
you know, there is, and it's a fact, it's not even an allegation, it's a fact, a lot of people have not really spoken up. And so as we take up this space and have this conversation,
yeah,
and just think about where we are at, even emotionally, then we can also now encourage the people and just
I really love how you just merge the church, because we are Christians, we are Jesus girlies,
we love
the Lord, and I love how you incorporated that aspect, because the truth of the matter is people think or feel like the church should be, or rather like our position is just to be silent and to pray, while we are called to pray and be light.
Yeah.
All through the Bible, we see men and women of God who stood up against injustices. We see people Absolutely. Who stood up and actually did something.
Yes.
When there was injustice, you know, when the people are crying, when they were being mistreated, we see people time and again who continuously confront this evil. And I actually just want to unpack from, let's start actually there, because if you're gonna center people back to the, what is right, it has to be what, you know, has been modeled in the Bible.
Absolutely.
So I'll flip it over back to you, Ivy.
Yes.
When you think about all the people in the Bible, who's that one person whose fight over injustice like has marked you or you align with?
Even as all this has been going on, one person I've thought of is Esther, who is a woman of the Bible I truly, truly love. And
Queen Esther?
Queen Esther.
Is it because I need to
Esther.
I need to slow you down. Do you like Esther because she was also into like the beauty things? Because you're a makeup artist.
I sure am.
Is that why you're like drawing to her?
That might be one of the reasons, among many others. But yes, so if you're not familiar with the story of Esther, she was
Queen Esther. Please put
I'm
some
sorry.
Respect on the queen.
Sorry, Queen Esther. So we know that during her time, so first of all, of course, she was a Jew. And during her time, the Jews were going to be killed. And her uncle, Mordecai, was the one who came to her and said, now that you kind of have like close proximity to the king, because she had already been made queen at this point, right? So Mordecai comes to Esther and says, why don't you go and speak to the king on behalf of your people?
Yeah.
And her first response was fear. And I completely relate with that. I know for a fact that, and especially like we've said, with the abductions and with everything that's been going on, fear is a valid, valid response.
Yeah.
And so she, in the same way, responds with fear. And this is because you could not just go to the king without being summoned.
Right.
And so Mordecai says something so profound, and I'd just like to read it.
Please quote it for us. We love a good quote from the Bible.
Absolutely. So I really liked this is Esther chapter 4, verse 13, and it says, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews.
Yeah.
And verse 14, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I think this verse is extremely relevant in this time because we have seen these injustices in the past, right?
Right.
We have grown up seeing, or rather hearing about such things happening. And possibly a lot of us were a bit young, so we did not really understand the magnitude of everything that was happening. And so just as we see in this story, as the millennials of this time, as the Gen Zs of this time, I just thought about the, you know, just the way the verse says, how about, what if we are here for such a time as this to speak against these injustices, to speak against all the impunity we are seeing in the country right now.
Yeah.
And of course, as we, of course, even just talk about the church and how maybe a lot of people feel like the church doesn't speak up.
Yeah.
We are just bringing it back to the word and seeing that this is something that is necessary and is required.
Yeah.
And even as we say that, of course, we're going to pray and we will and we should, we are also just agreeing with the fact that it is important to speak up. It is important to call out anything that is not, you know, okay, accurate, the way it's supposed to be. And yeah, just to wrap it up, that's definitely one of the people who have really inspired me, someone who, or rather a story that has really encouraged me even in this time.
And I love that. And when you bring up the story of Esther, immediately I just began to think about, of course, speaking up. And I like that because she had to speak up and she risked her life, you know, going to the king. She would have died, right? And she does all these things. And I was thinking about the flip side of what is happening in our nation with a particular sect of people who are, you know, acha tu niongee Kiswahili kwa sababu hizi ni mambo za nyumba. Wacha tusafishe nyumba na Kiswahili. Unajua kuna watu wenye wenye tunawaita goons. I believe si goons. These are just Kenyans who are misled when wamepatiwa do, you know, to go and harass people on the streets, to go and vandalize items.
Yeah.
Imagine where other people are genuinely going to the streets to fight and to, you know, speak up for truth. And they're going to say, you know what, we want light, we want clarity, we want security. Alafu kuna wase wenye, maze umepatiwa tu what? Ka 2K, ka 5K? Iyo ni worth life ya mse. Unatokelezea tu hapo maze na panga, na vijiti, na haribu gari ya mse. Maze hata labda kwa loan hajamaliza kulipa hiyo gari. Hizi vitu zote. But to what end? To what end? We need to arise, all of us as Kenyans, and think about this, Ivy. Our enemy, as a people, say vile wasi fulani wanataka kutuchezesha, inakani kama we are our own enemies.
For sure.
Right? Because now there's a sect group of people who are coming into to beat up other people, where there are some people who are fighting for the larger group. We have to come into oneness as one people.
Yes.
And as I was thinking about this, I was just thinking that we are missing who the enemy is.
We truly are. Because
we are not each other's enemies.
We are really not.
Who is actually the enemy of Kenya?
Yeah, the enemy is, like you're saying, we're not each other's enemies. We're all Kenyans and we would like to see our country prosper and become all that it's meant to be. And so we need
who's
to.
Who's the enemy?
I'm getting to it. So we need to look at it like this. The real enemy is tribalism, which we're trying to fight. The real enemy is corruption.
Period.
Which is exactly why we are in the street.
No, you need to say that again. What is the real enemy?
The real enemy is corruption.
Period.
The real enemy is tribalism.
Yeah.
The disunity that we are seeing.
Yeah.
And this is what we should all come together to fight against.
Yes.
We should not be focused on, oh, okay, nimepata aka 2K or whatever. And regardless of where we are, because of course we know the reason these people are taken advantage of is because of poverty. But that's the thing. We're trying to eradicate this poverty. We're trying to make it possible for everybody in the country to get the opportunities that they should be getting. And so this is something that we all should consider before you know, you go out there. Yeah. I remember I saw this video of this man. He looks like he could be my dad, to be honest. And he's just walking by the street.
Yeah.
And these goons come and attack him.
He's holding his phone.
Yes, he's holding his phone. He's trying to fight them off. And they come to him, like 6 or 7 of them, surely.
Imagine. Yeah.
Super heartbreaking. And this is basically what we're trying to fight. We just want each and every person to have the equal opportunities that are meant to be there for us. There's no reason for us to be going out there to look for jobs, and yet our country has these jobs just because of the few people who have chosen to, you know, be greedy and just try to amass all the wealth to try and take away all these opportunities that should be for the Kenyans.
Yes, and I really love what you're saying, Ivy, because when our gaze is fixed against each other, you know, Ivy, you're not my enemy. Just because we're women, you know, kura streets, you know, to speak up, which is your right as a Kenyan, I don't have to come and hit you with a panga and chase you out of the streets, etc. And while you're doing that, you know, you don't have to vandalize my shop or destroy my car or whatever. We're not each other's enemies. I would love a situation where, honestly, we are speaking the same language.
For sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And when we say fight, Kenyans, namsitu to PM away, please.
Please.
The police are not our enemies, okay? Najua, there are some lines that have been crossed. And honestly, those lines, in fact, even when I think about it, you remember that clip, you know, of the gentleman who was shot and he was just selling masks, was it not? I mean, that was such a bridge of trust. I mean, that was I want to say demonic at this point. That was demonic. But at the end of the day, the police, you are there to protect us. We are there to honor you and to love on you. But how do we do that when we feel unsafe in your hands? How do we do that when somebody is taken in for questioning and they are killed? They lose their lives, right? How do we do that? Can we restore, you know, the unity of knowing that we are one? Mm-hmm. We're one people. Man, when I was thinking about this issue of Kenya, I feel like we are missing the point because we have one enemy, honestly.
For sure. It is
that corruption. It is that greed.
Mm-hmm.
It is that... What did you say again?
Impunity. Disunity. Tribalism, which is a big one in Kenya.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would love for us moving forward to just fix that. Now imagine inanzapa kwa socials.
For sure.
You don't have to write that negative comment. Listen, I'm not your enemy. It's not me.
Yeah.
Right? It has to start here. It has to start with your neighbor, that you view your neighbor as uni Mkenya mwenzangu. Maze kama anaenda ku riot, ameenda kufanya hivi, you have no right to stop that person. Mm-hmm. Amen, church.
Amen.
Right? And so when you think about bringing healing to the nation, imagine it has to start with each other.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It will be great if our leaders saw us as humans and Kenyans and one and loved on us and paid attention to our cries. That's a really great start.
Yes, for sure. And even before we get into the healing aspect, I'd like to hear from you.
I thought I had escaped it.
No, absolutely not. So what is, who is that character or person in the Bible who has, you know, not inspired, but like, yeah, inspired, encouraged you in
it's
this.
It's giving Ivy Ataki impunity kwa podcast. Kama mtu anafanya, mwingine anafanya.
Lazima.
I love equality that for us. Equality always. We love that and we comply.
Yeah.
So for me, I think I have a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But the major one that obviously stands out has to be Moses.
Mm.
And how he stood up against Pharaoh.
Yes.
Right, when this guy had taken the Israelites into bondage for, you know, close to 400 years plus, right? They were in bondage and they were being mistreated day and night.
Yeah.
And his heart was heavy for the people.
Mm.
In fact, the first time we see Moses in the Bible, we see him trying to, we see him killing an Egyptian because they killed. Because they killed an Israelites, all right? That's the first time we interact with Moses. But after that, he comes back again as this man who has heard God. And he stands up to Pharaoh and he's telling Pharaoh, let my people go. This is a word of God, so that they may worship me. Let them go from these hardships. Let them go from these contentions and the strivings. And in fact, when you read that story, Ivy, the Bible introduces the Israelites as people who are sighing in the presence of God. Yani walikuwa so afflicted.
Yeah.
They would just be sighing in the presence of God.
Mm.
And the Lord heard their sighs.
Yeah.
And that is so encouraging for me that even now, imagine when things feel so hopeless for Kenya, God is hearing our sighs.
Yes.
God is hearing, you know, our little complaints, and he's seeing the injustices. Mm. And I know, you know, and it's starting with us. It's starting with everybody who is standing up and saying, no, this is wrong. This is not godly. I know God is bringing a solution to Kenya. And number two, because you've asked, please, you know, you know, I have to get into a little bit of Bible study.
Let's
please.
Do it.
My number two, wow, I think would be Nehemiah.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Nehemiah especially the most because when Nehemiah hears that the walls of Jerusalem have been broken down, when he hears this news, the Bible says that he wept and he fasted and he was very sad.
Yeah.
But it did not end there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love Nehemiah so much. He was among the people. In fact, he was the lead of the people who brought people together. He converged the people and they rebuilt the wall.
Yeah.
So it's not enough for us to be angry. It's not enough for us to be sad. We have to, you know, collectively take these emotions to God,
yes.
pray about it. And then when the Lord says rebuild, it's time to rebuild Kenya. We rebuild one brick by one brick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely Moses and Nehemiah.
I love that. And I love the way you've closed it on, you know, taking our despairs to God.
Yeah.
Because that's a major part of just beginning the healing. When you're in that state of feeling like there's so much despair, you don't know what to say, you don't know where to look, you don't know what to do. The beauty about God is that he does indeed hear us. And even as you're speaking, I remembered in that same story of Esther, one of the things, like you said, you did mention it, that if she went to the king without being summoned, she would have been killed.
Yeah.
And what she says to her people is, take some time and fast. Mm. Join me in a fast and prayer. And we know how that story ends. She does go to the king and the king does hear her.
Yeah.
And so we cannot also discount the importance of prayer, even in this season, and the importance of just taking these feelings to God, and just allowing him to begin to heal us, even in a place where we just feel like we can, like, there's no way you're changing my mind. There's no way I'm just going to look at these people differently. God is indeed a God who heals. He's a God who truly does hate injustices, and he cares for us deeply, deeply, deeply. So even as we go through all these emotions, I think that's a good place to begin the healing, to take all our worries to God, all our anxieties to him, and just to allow him to begin to heal us.
Yeah.
Even as we continue to, of course, speak up and condemn these injustices, because we cannot also be quiet.
Yes, I really love that. Honestly, prayer and just seeking first the wisdom of God.
Mm.
Because when you look through the Bible, all these people who brought change, all of them, they only brought change because they had a word from God.
Yeah.
It is God who gives the blueprint of how he's going to get you out of the mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so just for us seeking God, we're not delegating this to pastors and bishops and prophets. No, it's all of us as Kenyans, you know, with that pain, with that frustration, just saying, you know what, God, this really hurts. And, you know, taking it to prayer. And just praying and seeking the wisdom of God, trusting God to raise Daniels, you know, to raise wise counsel for our leaders, trusting God that, you know, come the next election, Ivy, that we are going to have leaders who are after God's heart.
For sure.
And, you know, when people think that, you know, after God's heart is just, okay, revival. No, God wants justice. God is a God of justice. God wants people to grow, right? God hates poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So the kind of leaders we are looking out for are people who have the heart of God.
Mm.
And that's not just, you know, somebody who is going to come and build 1,000 churches. No, it's somebody who cares about the growth of Kenya, the growth of the people of Kenya, the wellness of the people of Kenya. And of course, just to circle back, after we pray, guys, 2020, what? We need to get our things correct, because we need to vote right.
Yep.
You know, we need to do our due diligence on the people that we bring into office. But now, because we are here, Ivy, we are not yet into, we still have a whole 2026 and a little bit of 2025, what can we do as at right now? Now that we are smack in this middle, what can we do first to have change and just to have an amazing atmosphere?
I feel like there's no right way to answer this or yeah. wrong way. We are all probably in that space of wondering
yeah.
what can we really do, because as you said, the little that we can do is met with so much violence
and aggression
yeah. and it's just incredibly hard to try and do something in this moment. But we should not despair. Change does require that courage.
Yeah,
it's okay to feel fearful and scared, but we do need to continue speaking up. It's all I believe we can do in this season, and to just continue holding the people accountable. I know that we want a better Kenya, not just mm-hmm. for ourselves, but even for our children. Mm-hmm. We've had all these stories of how we are not the only people who will inherit all this debt we are having. Yeah. This will affect our children and our children's children.
Right.
Like, there's no way we want to continue living like this.
Yeah.
So we do need to continue to speak up and just continue to pray, even in a season where it feels like the prayers are not working. I'm
yeah.
reminded of that verse that says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
That's
and
right.
even though we feel like we cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel, there
yeah.
is light, and
yeah.
it's going to come. And regardless of where we are, we just need to keep trusting and just keep believing that God will truly get us to the other side as a country.
I love that. And I guess how I would even just cream that, that's powerful and really good, is to call people back to love.
Absolutely.
We absolutely need to go back to the place of love as Kenyans.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, # tupendane.
I mean, that
needs to be a real thing where we are loving each other and we are being kind to each other and we choose each other. I have to be able to love you enough to choose you over 5,000, 10,000, 1 million,
for
2
sure.
million. I mean, your life must mean enough for me. And I just pray that we would actually love each other for real in our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And when we love each other, when we pray, when we keep speaking up, we will have the best or better Kenya that we are all hoping for.